Amen. Amen. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us safe throughout the week so that we can come together again today to worship you, to be with you, to rest, and to glorify you. Thank you for giving us that which we need to go forth and share our faith and the truth that you give us with others. And if we are so worthy, thank you for blessing us with the latter rain. And also for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, so we are worthy. Thank you for blessing all those that are on the prayer list that are in need of physical or spiritual healings. And thank you for giving us day by day an obvious light on the path that you have set before us. And thank you so much for changing the showbread each and every Sabbath. And so, please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Hold on. All right, so I don't see any new people up there on the top, and so we'll go right into it. We're on question number 16, I believe. Let's see, 16, right? Yep, the one that's yellowed out. And the question is, he that is now called a prophet was before time called a what? And in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, it says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Thank you, Brother Sean. Seems we got quite a few people missing today. Hope everything's okay with their internet. I know Sister Maudlin's having internet issues. I just got an email from her iPhone, which, you know, it's not her laptop. And she let me know. So keep her in prayer and keep her little girl in prayer, too. And she got some stomach issues. So, but anyway, getting back to this verse, every time I read this passage, I can't help think of all the blessings Israel forfeited by rebelling against the Lord back then. I mean, it was just, and yeah, and as I said many times, had they stayed obedient, the people of Israel would to this day be considered the seers and the prophets that everyone on earth would go to when they had spiritual issues or questions about God's will or just wanted to know what the Bible verse meant. You know, when they got to the more meaty passages. And this is one of the, and this is what's really strange too, because I was, doing some study this week in this regard, to help answer a question. But when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the Jews had been so turned around by Satan that, they thought that when Messiah came, he would tower over everybody else. He'd be, you know, strong in stature, kind of like the way Saul looked when he, you know, the first king of Israel. And, but not, well, I imagine even taller than Saul because, that's, they were after the flesh. And not only would he have that appearance, he would also take over Roman rule and allow the Jewish nation to rule with him on earth, and to where they would have power to be considered the seers and the prophets that everybody would go to. But that was their duty back thousands of years ago, and they shirked that. And so, it, you know, they proved themselves unworthy, and there's no way they were going to get there. Well, the same mindset's out there today. The Jews, of course, in Israel, which are not the chosen people, by the way, and replacement theology is based in biblical fact. But the Jews today even think the same way, that they think that when Messiah comes, who they don't think it's going to be Jesus, but they're going to get another strange deception when the false Messiah or the Antichrist appears, he will declare himself Jesus. And they'll fall for it because he's coming in his own name, like Jesus predicted. You know, I come in my Father's name, he said, and you'll reject me, but there's going to be one that's going to come in his own name, and you're not going to reject him, of course. And so they're talking about that 1,000 years of rule or peace on earth. What they don't see, this is how the devil twists truth. There will be peace on earth for 1,000 years, but it's all because there's nothing but dead bodies everywhere, and that's why his real name is Beelzebub, you know, God of the dung. But he keeps that part out, you know. He doesn't let them know that the reason there's peace is because they, the ones that worship him, are actually dead. Still, this passage does bless the heart of the obedient Christian today, and especially those of us that will be blessed to be in that number that we strive on to. And this is why we are called Israel today and will be called as such throughout eternity. This also suggests the duty of those that reign with Christ in eternity as they stand as ambassadors today, because if we look closely at the express duty of Israel as it is penned in, right here in 1 Samuel, we know this to be God's will even to this day. I mean, after all, did not Jesus state plainly in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that we as his obedient people, go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? I mean, that's what the Jews were supposed to do, but they hoarded it. They kept it, you know, within their walls. But Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen? And is this not also written in 1 Corinthians chapter 27 and 8? Chapter 12, verses 27 and 8, where it says, know ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first as apostles, of course, and then secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And so as Israel was called to do the work thousands of years ago, but shirked their duty and hoarded the word of God in themselves, preventing those souls in need to get the truth, and, you know, from actually hearing. I mean, just look at the way they treated Ruth when she came from Moab. They kept calling her a sister of Moab or a daughter of Moab and a Moabite. And she literally told Naomi, wait, hold on. Please don't send PMs to me during study. Thanks. All right. But she told her husband, who died, of course, his mother, that she would follow him. Her nation would be her nation, and that her God would be her God. And she literally did, I mean, what they were supposed to do. I mean, especially her husband's mom. I think, wasn't it Naomi? I'm pretty sure. But they shirked that, you know. I mean, sure, there was a lot of Jews that did it right, of course, yeah, as we saw with Ruth and her mother-in-law. But the overwhelming majority, especially the leaders, did not do it. They did not do it at all. And so now they want it. But, hey, it's too late. And so the people that needed to hear the truth from them never received it. And so on. So the Lord replaced the disobedient Jews with the obedient Israel, because the actual term Israel was given to Jacob after his obedience was obvious. But they always seem to think, it's just like with the SDAs and stuff like that, they think because they have the name Seventh-day Adventist that was given unto them via, you know, the tongue of an angel, they think that that's going to lock it down for all eternity. Well, then explain replacement theology. I mean, if that's the case, what about Martin Luther and the Lutherans? Because that was the sixth hour. That was an overwhelmingly obvious sixth hour movement. So if that name never changes, or if they can never slip off the path and end up in apostasy, then, well, we should all be calling ourselves Lutherans, you know. But we're not, because they got all infected with Roman theology, and then the SDAs came along next in the Ninth Hour movement. And yes, just because we are after the cross of Christ doesn't mean fruits of the Holy Spirit cease after Pentecost, as some also preach. I mean, notice what Jesus says to the hypocritical leaders 2,000 years ago, and notice how he mentions the coming days. Check it out. It's in Matthew chapter 23, verses 33 to 4. He said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them that ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." So, many false teachers and preachers declare certain gifts are gone, and especially when it comes to prophets for some odd reason. But even though the Bible says the Lord has always given us a prophet for every age, sure, they will declare there are wise men and scribes, and so they're all going to stand tall on their self-built, you know, pedestals, and they're going to sell their books that they authored. And yes, many in the Sunday-keeping churches will claim to be prophets as well. They're literally off the chart there. It's just like there's thousands of them now in the Sunday-keeping churches that claim to be prophets. But for some odd reason, the Sabbath-keeping believer, they think the work of the prophet is done after the end times began. But as we learned earlier, many will have the gift of prophecy in the last days. If you go back a few questions that we went through in the study. In fact, it's one of the two main fruits of those that refuse the mark of the beast in Revelation 14. I mean, truth is, how could we not be those that understand prophecy when we know what the mark is and the rest of the world claims it's all a computer chip or a barcode or tattoo? I mean, you don't literally have to be a prophet that's going to tell you what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow, right? I mean, it's not always about what happens tomorrow. I mean, a true prophet will also rarely declare his or herself as such, and only when instructed by the Lord to do so, as we saw with King Saul when he sought out Samuel for the first time. You know, because there was a reason for that, because Saul was going to be anointed. And so he had to look for the seer, and then Samuel would admit, "Yes, I am." But the gift of prophecy goes further than knowing the prophetic symbols, or understanding the signs of the times, or even one that has many dreams, let's say. A prophet, or even visions, a prophet also has an ability to understand the word of God, doctrine, the law itself. It's written in Romans chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." So if you read on in Romans, you will see that it mentions other gifts and how they are to be used. But my point here is that prophesying is mentioned here, and then it speaks on the proportion of faith, meaning, yes, prophecy is an amazing gift, and heavenly mysteries are granted unto those with this gift, and especially so in proportion of faith. Or as we may say it today, the man prophesies, or the woman, in proportion to his or her faith, meaning as far as the word of God is understood, so will the person with the gift explain it. All right? So let's go to number 17 here. And it's, "What prophet and what seer wrote books which are not in our Bible?" And 1 Chronicles 29:29 says, "Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel, the seer, and in the book of Nathan, the prophet, and in the book of Gad, the seer." The study has a very interesting explanation in this that I think is rather good. It says, "From the above text, it is clear that a prophet's writings do not have to be in the Bible in order for that prophet to be inspired of God. When Ahab disregarded the counsel of the prophet, Micaiah, who never wrote a single word of the Bible, he suffered the consequences for disobedience just as if it had been Isaiah or Jeremiah who had given the warning." And that's, of course, 1 Kings 22. When the Lord inspires a prophet, whether the message serves only to meet a specific need at a specific time, or whether it is canonized in the scriptures for people in all ages, the decree of inspiration is the same, or the degree, rather, of inspiration is the same. And the message of all true prophets of God, whether they are Bible writers or not, will be in perfect harmony with the written scripture by which all things must be tested. And that includes your own dreams, which we were discussing last week, or was it the week before? I don't remember. And what I mean by that is, like, if you have a dream and you believe it's from on high and it's, you think it's from the Lord, you better verify all those symbols that you had in your dream with that which is written in the Word of God, and you will see whether or not it is from the Lord. So, I have two pages, and by the way, on the website, that outline the fruits of a true prophet as well as the fruits of a false prophet, and this biblical truth stands firm even to this day. But being in the last days, we must be exceptionally careful. And what I mean is, the book of Gad or the book of Enoch and even Jasher are mentioned in the Word of God, yes, but as far as the body of Christ understands, none of these books can be found today. And perhaps they were in the library of Cleopatra on the day it burned, or God simply allowed them to be lost in some other way. But again, in these last days, one can expect that some from Rome will claim to have such books and use them as a way to lure people back into apostasy with them. Hence the Apocrypha of Rome, where it's really way off target in some areas. Hold on a second. I don't know why people do this. All right. So, yeah, my phone, I can't get a phone. So we're using Fran's phone again for the teleconference. Yeah, because my cell phone, forget about it. Praise the Lord, a brother in the faith is helping me out with a better phone and should be here this week. And then it'll actually use Wi-Fi to make phone calls, and so I can use it for church. But as I was saying, in these last days, one can expect that some from Rome actually have these books. They actually got caught doing this, too. I did a radio thing on this years ago where they admitted. Now, this is what really irks me about some of the people of the world today. Rome admitted that they forged certain books. I mean, because there's just way too many theologians out there saying, you got to be kidding me with this stuff, right? But they never pulled them from the shelf. It says, oh, yeah, it was forged, and we proved it was forged hundreds of years ago. Everything's okay, fine. But then take it off the shelf, because there's other people that didn't hear that guy say that. And then take, for example, the book of Enoch that began to float around the internet a few years ago. I remember people just throwing it at me every time they had a chance. The Vatican has already been caught and even, like I said, admitted to doing these forgeries. And I have the admission somewhere on the website in writing, but what did the biblical truth put forth by the apostle that said the following from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, which is, the former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In short, do you need any more books other than those that we know to be inspired? Seriously, do you need any more? If all that Jesus began to do and teach was already covered in the 66 books? Yeah, I did some research on Enoch's supposed inspired book and found Catholic doctrine within its pages. For example, it says that only 200 angels fell from heaven when Lucifer sinned and then later became Satan. What does the real Bible say? Well, when speaking of the angels that minister unto God before the throne, it says in Revelation 5:11, and behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So since only one-third of heaven fell with Satan, that means the original number of the angels, according to Rome, is 600. according to that book of Enoch. Because if only 200 fell, yeah, Or would it be 666? You know how they kind of lean towards that number, since that's the number of the Man of Sin's official titles. Well, he's got 13 or 14 different titles that all equal 666 individually. But the Bible states the angels were far greater in number than just 600. And there were a lot more than 200 that fell. Because if that's the case, if it was only 200, boy, them guys are busy. Because there's 7 billion people on this planet being tempted right now. I mean, and look up, especially if you live outside the city. See those trillions of galaxies up there? All right. So, if there's that many planets, I can assume, without going too far off the path of truth, that there's got to be quite a few angels. And so, because they're busy, you know, all over the universe. It's not just us. Okay, yeah, a lot of stuff is focused in this direction because we have a special duty that no other people on all those other worlds have that Paul speaks of in the scriptures. Yeah, the other worlds are mentioned. But most people don't read their Bibles, and so they don't believe that. They think it's just little green men, which, by the way, if you ever delved in the, you know, the occult, you'll know that the original depiction of a demon was a little green man. But it also says, let's see, that these 200 angels had relations, quote unquote, with human women, and the act brought forth the Nephilim, or giants in the land, like, you know, Goliath and his brothers. By the way, that's why David didn't only pick up one stone. He wasn't figuring I'm going to miss the first time. No. He had some stones, exactly the amount of stones he needed to get each one of Goliath and his brothers. So not only has it recently been proven via archaeologists, that they found that men before the flood were anywhere from 16 feet to maybe 18 feet tall, and women were around 14 to 16 or whatever. And yes, I go into detail on my Evidence of Creation page on the website where they actually found a human femur bone. You want to take a look at it. I'm not talking about those weird aliens with the torpedo heads and all this other weird stuff and the guys that are 40 feet tall. No. I'm talking about Goliath and the people that Goliath was small compared to the people before the flood. You know, if he stood next to Adam would just, you know, he wouldn't be an issue. He wouldn't be considered a big guy. So Jesus actually exposes this lie when uncovering the lying agenda of a corrupt Sadducee who asked about who would be married to the women, or to the woman who was barren, that was married to 7 brothers who died one by one before she could have a child. Check out what Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 25. He says, "For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." In other words, angels cannot have relations with humans. And the book of Enoch cannot possibly be an inspired book. To be inspired, it must agree line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there, just like the other 66 books of the Bible do. So once we can see very clearly how Rome uses twisted verses and out of context statements to build on this doctrine or that doctrine or whatever by using the term sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 verse 4 too, where it says there were giants in the earth in those days also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. Well, common sense has to be graphically called upon here to ask the question, would God call fallen angels to the sons of God? I mean, would he? Seriously? I mean, some say the sons of God are good angels as well. However, as we just saw in Mark 12:25, angels can't marry. So if the sons of God are now good angels in Genesis 6:4, they are now committing adultery and or fornication by having these relations with these women without marriage. Because you know they're not going to have a big old marriage ceremony, because try to explain that one to your parents, that you're going to marry some 20-foot angel. So that then means these are bad angels. Hence the reason for the heresy of the Book of Enoch. It fosters confusion, and confusion makes the one reading become more trusting of the man that wrote the confusing book. Because they're going to rely on him to explain it rather than God. Because that's always the case, especially like, and this is one of the things I saw I was growing up, like especially the first time I started reading the Bible, and I asked my pastor, a Monsignor, if you will, in the Catholic Church. Yeah, I used to be Catholic. And I asked him, I had a bunch of questions I was going to ask him. I actually list them in my book, The Second Window. And he stopped me at the second or third question. I had like 20 of them, I think, maybe 15, you know, about why does the Bible say this, but we teach and do this. Because I was teaching Catholic doctrine then. And he says, stop reading the Bible, Nick. It's confusing you. And that confused me more than anything else. Because it makes you, in other words, stop reading the Bible. Just listen to what I'm saying. Trust me. I'll explain it to you because I've gone to school for this. Look, I've got a white collar and a black suit on. So just trust me on this. Hey, that ain't working. I want to worship my God, not you. So that being said, who are the sons of God according to the Bible? Well, listen to the following passages. Most that preach the Son of God equals angels never seem to share from their pulpits to their confused brethren. All right, we might go over a minute or two here, not much, but John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's right, you and I are sons and daughters of God, right? Okay, next one, Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Philippians 2, 15. Says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See, I think that's where I hung my hat on that one sermon I wrote years ago about Enoch. Because we can get there. Enoch had the divine nature to the point where he was translated. You know how Enoch was and Enoch was not. The Lord took him. And then 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then verse 2, same book, says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, does this series of passages describe fallen angels? Does it even describe good angels? No, it doesn't. It is describing the followers of God. The sons of God are and still are the people of God. And back then, they were being disobedient, marrying the women from, bad areas, bad nations. And so, I go into a little bit more detail on this Nephilim lie on my Easy Facts page. When you get there, just click item number 18 in the menu, which answers a question about this. But bottom line is this, on how to expose these bogus Bibles and these bogus books Rome claims to be from Enoch, Jasher, Gad, whoever, or even Nathan. It says in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So now do you see why most people fall for the lies of Rome and think these bogus books are trustworthy? If you don't study the real word of God, you will easily fall for the false word of man. Hope and pray you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.